Good morning, everyone. As Pastor mentioned, my name is Kyle Fran, and I'm here with my wife, Heather, today. And it is an absolute joy for us to be with you. You guys have been faithfully partnering with us in ministry for well over 20 years. So we're so thankful for your prayers and support in the ministry. We genuinely couldn't do what we do without you. So thank you. You guys are impacting lives around the world, and we are so grateful for that partnership with you. Just a little about us. If you missed the morning Sunday school, I think it was posted online, so you can go back and get the full version. But just the small, quick version is that we started off in South Africa in missions about 19 years ago with an AIDS outreach ministry, and then moved into a pastoral training for Zulu pastors. And then about 11 years ago, we moved up to Tanzania and took the regional director role for East Africa, and we were there for 3 years. And then since then, the last 7.5 years or so, we've been up in Portugal, serving as the Western Europe Regional Director and basing in Portugal and serving countries around Western Europe. We have about 100 missionaries, or about 90 plus missionaries that we serve in 8 different countries around Western Europe. And it is a real joy for us to be able to build into the lives of missionaries, to see them be able to thrive in ministry so they can be able to continue to plant churches where they are around Western Europe. One of the things that we've watched far too many times, though, is that missionaries get to the field and they get discouraged. Things are a lot harder than they maybe thought they were going to be. And they aren't prepared for them to be that hard. And they get discouraged and give up and quit. Now, this is never the reason you really hear. There's always going to be a front reason to that. But the back reason oftentimes is that they weren't ready for the difficulties that were going to come. Now, missionaries, they're not the only ones that face challenges, are they? I can imagine that if we probably did a little quick survey here, there's probably a couple of you in here that have faced challenges or are currently facing challenges. And so this morning, as I was thinking through what I wanted to share with you, it kept coming back to the idea of resilience and grit in perseverance and pressing through it in the midst of challenges. This is the lesson that I wish I had before learning how to deal with life's challenges, and it's the lesson I wish I had before going into missions and leadership. So I want to be able to share that with you today, and I hope it's an encouragement to you as you face, are currently facing, or will face challenges in the future. In life, we will face problems, probably lots of them. However, if we have a proper mindset and perspective on challenges based on God's word, it builds our resilience and grit in the midst of those challenges. Even though we all face challenges, everyone responds differently to them, don't they? You may have noticed this. Some people just give up and quit. Other people will moan and complain. Other people seek attention and sympathy. Other people panic and worry. And other people, with calm confidence, just seem to walk through those challenges. You ever thought to yourself, well, why? Like, what makes them different to be able to endure that with that calm confidence? And if they can find that reservoir of resilience and grit, can we find it? And I believe that we can. See, the key is not getting rid of problems. The key is to become more resilient, strong, courageous, and calm in the midst of challenges and problems. And this morning we're going to look at 4 different perspectives on challenges that can build your resilience and grit. First, we're going to start off in looking at James 1, 2 through 4. We're going to go through a number of different passages this morning. I'll have them up here on the screen. They're also in your notes there. If you missed the reference, they are in there. And if in case you want to check, look into those later. But James 1, 2 through 4 says this: "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So when James tells us to count it all joy, he's talking about our perspective. and our view of the challenges. He's saying, look at this, and I want you to look at it in this way. I want you to count it as joy. Interpret it as joy as you look at these challenges. It may not feel joyful, but I want you to count it as joy. You see, we can't change our trials, our challenges, but what you can change is how you view them, how you look at your challenges. As we change how we view our challenges, it also changes how we feel about our challenges. The right perspectives on challenges are essential. So the four perspectives on challenges that can build our resilience. First is this: challenges are part of God's plan to glorify Himself. Challenges are part of God's plan to glorify Himself. In 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, it says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Another passage, Judges 7:2, the story of Gideon. You remember the story? He had 10,000 in his army up against 120,000. Not exactly really good odds, but you know, maybe with a long shot they could get it. But what does God do? He reduces Gideon's army down to 300. And then in this verse, he tells us why he did that. It says in Judges 7:2, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me.'" So with 10,000, Gideon be like, "Yeah, man, we really pulled it together and we pulled off this major win. It was pretty tough, and you know, God had to help us a little bit, but man, wow." But with 300, no, there is no way. And so in both of these passages, what we see is that challenges bring us to the end of ourself. And that's where God's strength is most clearly seen. Sometimes God allows problems to get too big for us, to get impossible, so that we and everybody else will know that was only God. They couldn't have done that because that was impossible to do. And sometimes the challenges in our life get to that point, don't they? God allows us to get to the end where we're like, "Man, I got nothing. I've got nothing. I've tried everything and there's nothing else I can do. All I have left is to depend on Him." And then at the end of that, as God miraculously works, who gets the praise? Who gets the glory? God does. We don't. We don't take any of that for ourselves because it was clear it was God alone. Just like Gideon had too many people and was going to get in the way of God's power being seen, God allows those problems to get too big for us. Now, what happens, though, when we get to the end of our strength? Well, we fully rely on God, and He gets all the glory. But does anyone see a problem with that? We don't like being brought to the end of our own strength, do we? We don't enjoy that. We don't like having all of our abilities completely depleted. Gideon was afraid. I mean, the Israelites at the Red Sea, they were a little petrified. When we see challenges, we're often like the Israelites. We're afraid, and we cry out to God. But God doesn't want us to fear. You see, challenges set the stage for God to show His power. And when challenges begin, we should think to ourselves, you know what? I don't know what God is doing, but I know He's doing something, and He has a plan. Don't focus on the challenge, focus on God. And that's what Moses did. As the Israelites were panicking, what did Moses say? "Be calm. Look, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord." Moses pointed people to God in that as people were panicking. One time, a ministry that we helped oversee was trying to be shut down by the country's government. And this would have personally had a huge impact on our family. And we had, the ministry team that I was working with, we had tried every single possible avenue that we could to make this work. And we got to the point where we're like, you know what? We have tried everything that we could or should do. We have zero left to do except pray. There is nothing else we can do for this. And the verse that brought incredible encouragement was 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. I don't think I have this one up there. Yeah, we do. For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And every meeting we'd have, we started and ended with that prayer. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do not know how to work through this. And you know what? In that situation, God worked it out. He allowed it to go through in a miraculous way. And we couldn't take any credit for it. Courage isn't based on knowing what the outcome is. It's based on knowing the one who controls the outcome. And I've noticed something about myself, and you may relate to this. I'm usually really calm and confident if I think I know what the plan is. But when the plan changes, well, that's when fear and anxiety begin to rise. But what God taught me through that was this. If I start to fear when plans change, then my faith was not based on a person. It was based on my approval of the plan. It was like, I approved the plan because I liked it, but when God changed it, whoa, hold on, we're going to have a little powwow with the Trinity, and we're going to have to re-go over this again and make sure that I'm clear with it, and I'm going to sign off on it, right? God doesn't work that way. A little illustration of this. When we were in South Africa, we lived an hour from the game park, and we would often do self-drives through the game park. And one day, we were driving through the game park. We came up over a ridge, and about 40 yards away, there was a black rhino. Now, black rhinos perpetually wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And this one, true to form, looked up and said, car, charge, and took off in a full sprint towards us. So he's like from me to the back of the room. And in my mind, so I have my family with me, my mom is with us, and in my mind, the first thing that comes to my mind is I had recently read a motorcycle safety book a couple of years back. And when a dog chases you on a motorcycle, what do? You don't speed up because that dog has time to triangulate and pick your new location. It'll meet you there if it has enough space. So what you actually do is you slow down and you draw the dog in. And you wait till it gets really, really close and then you hit it. And then the dog doesn't have time to recalibrate, and it misses you, and you're fine. So I thought to myself, 30-pound dog, 3,000-pound rhino, same trigonometry. So I start putzing along, and we're drawing him in. 30 yards out, 20 yards out. Now, my family are freaking out. Because I didn't have time to explain this whole trigonometry thing to them. And I'm not sure they would have really trusted me on that. I had been hit by an elephant before. So all I said is, I've got this. My wife's hitting me. 10 yards out, I hit the gas, and the thing misses us by about 5 yards. It slides past us and skids. It's like Dukes of Hazzard, like old. Like it skids and rolls down the hill. It was so mad at us. Now, in that story, I had a little bit of knowledge. God has infinitely more knowledge than that. And he wants us to trust him. He's got this. And he will work things out in the best possible way. But he doesn't always take the time to bring us up to speed on what the new plan is. But we have to trust him. He's got it under control. Faith looks at a person, not a plan. We don't need to know the plan. We just need to know that he has a plan and that it is a good and loving plan. It's for our eternal good, and it's good and a loving plan. God sometimes waits until we have no hope, until our weakness is fully evident, and then it's absolutely clear whose power it was. And then he gets all the glory for that. So challenges are part of God's plan to glorify himself. Are we keeping your eyes on God or on what you think the plan should be? The second perspective is this. Challenges are the path. Challenges are the path. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When you think about the different servants that God used throughout the Bible, Joseph, David, Moses, Daniel, Noah, Isaiah, Paul, they had to endure massive challenges. These problems both prepared them to be used by God, it also prepared the path for God to be able to work. You see, God uses those problems and challenges. They set the stage for God to work. Problems both trained and provided opportunities for God to work. The challenges were the path. They're part of life. I used to think to myself, if I can just get through this challenge, okay, it should be okay. Then it should smooth out after that. Has anyone ever thought that before? And what would happen was I'd push to get through that challenge, only to get through that one, and guess what? Oh, there's another challenge on the horizon. I came across this Haitian proverb that really kind of helped remind me of this perspective. It said this: behind mountains are more mountains. That's it. Behind mountains are more mountains. And that holds true to what Jesus reminds us, that in this world you're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. Life is full of problems. And we need to come to grips with that reality and stop trying to live in a delusion land that there's not going to be problems, that there's not going to be challenges. The verse we read this morning, we'll get back to it later, in Psalm, says that the righteous are never be moved, not afraid of bad news. Wouldn't you like that description of you? Not afraid of bad news. If our goal is maintaining the status quo and hoping for no problems, we're going to be setting ourselves up for some disappointment. But if we're ready for more mountains, we'll pace ourselves and we'll be emotionally prepared when the challenges come. It doesn't make them easier, but it prepares us for them so that we're not discouraged by them as they do come up. An application of this truth that's been really helpful is remembering that challenges and problems are the path and that God's the one that solves those helps remind me that I don't have to fix everything. It's not my responsibility to fix everything. And this phrase has been really helpful. Work the process, not the problem. Work the process, not the problem. And this helps me to focus on what's the next step that I should take? What's my responsibility in this? God's responsibility is to solve the problems, but I have a responsibility in this to take some certain steps. Maybe it's having certain conversations, certain decisions. There are certain parts that we do play in that. But my role is not to fix it. That's God's. And that takes a huge burden off as we walk through different challenges and problems. So a question then is part of the process worrying about the outcome? I think you probably know the answer to that by now. It's no. God is not up in heaven wringing his hands wondering how your challenge is going to work out. He's not. God has never gotten an ulcer over your challenges. He's not in a hurry, running about frantically trying to work things out so that it falls into place perfectly. No, God knows what's going to happen. He has a plan, and he's working that out. There's a great example of this. Before the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tested Philip. And he said this in John 6:5-6. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So you can imagine Philip around this time, right? Jesus says, hey, where are we going to get bread? And you can probably see the color just kind of drain out of Philip's face as he realizes, oh boy, we've got a big problem here. Well, what Jesus is doing there is he's letting Philip see and feel just how big this problem is. He's letting him really understand, hey, this is beyond you, Philip. Like, even if you tried to make a plan for this, it won't work. But he lets Philip in on this problem, and he brings him into this problem. And when we see how impossible a problem is to overcome, what does it do? It tests our faith. God gives us challenges to test our faith. And there are opportunities for us to trust him. But that next line is so powerful. It says, for he himself knew what he would do. In every problem that we face, every problem that you face, God already has a plan. He lets us see and feel those problems, but he's testing our faith and he's growing our faith. Will we respond in faith or fear? Will we respond in peace or worry? If we have a fear problem, it's because we have a faith problem. Don't focus on the problem, focus on the provider. God has already solved our problems, but they do test our faith. He already knows what he's going to do. And this is just as true today as it is when he fed the 5,000. There was one time when we were concerned that we wouldn't be able to get our kids' visas renewed for Portugal, and because some of the laws had changed. And renewing visas is always a faith-building time because you just never know. The laws change, and we've had many of our friends that kind of got stuck in the middle, and they've had to change countries, go back to the States. Things like that happen. So it's a very real thing. And I was worrying about it. But later that day, I got on to check the portal there, and it had already been approved. So I'd been worried about something that was actually not an issue. And sometimes we can create a problem in our mind that may not actually be a problem. Or in our mind, it's much bigger than it is in reality. And here's what's important to remember. Even though a problem may be a figment of our imagination, our brain and our body do not know the difference. And this is so important to understand. When you're worried about something that hasn't even happened yet, it's not even a real thing yet, but in your brain, it exists. And you create it in your brain. And your body responds as if that threat were a real thing. And we may be carrying about in our bodies countless problems that may not ever exist in reality. Except they do exist in our mind and our body, which lives it out. There was a quote from Mark Twain who said, I've suffered a great many catastrophes in my life. Most of them never happened. But he suffered from them, didn't he? And the emotional roller coaster that we put ourselves only accomplishes two things. One, they make us discontent and miserable. And two, they make God look really, really small. Because as we respond in that way, other people are watching how we respond to our problems and our challenges. And our response either makes God look really big or really small. What do you tell yourself when a negative or fearful thought enters your head? My encouragement to you is this. Be ready with a clear statement of truth or scripture to be able to combat the lies that we tell ourselves. Maybe it's God's got this, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Preload the truth message that you need to speak to yourself to remind yourself of truth. And when we change our perspective on our challenges, it changes our life. Do you remember that God already has your problem solved? The third perspective is that challenges make us stronger. In James 1, 2 through 4. We read this a little bit earlier. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You see, we shouldn't fear challenges. We should actually fear comfort. Comfort keeps us weak. Challenges makes us stronger. There's an African proverb that says, "Smooth seas don't make skillful sailors." You need to go through challenges to actually learn some stuff. We need challenges to grow us. And challenges come in the form of problems, trials, annoyances, changed plans, failed plans, and they can hurt, right? They can test our limits. As I look back over the last 10 or 20 years, I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't gone through the challenges that I'd gone through. And neither would you. They've probably made you who you are. And I can see how those challenges have, God has used those to grow me stronger. I often say, never chosen, but never traded. I probably wouldn't choose the challenges up front, but after having gone through them and seeing what God did in and through me, I would never trade them either. Now, one of the things I enjoy doing, I enjoy exercise for the most part, but if you've ever exercised and done hard work, you know this, that physical exercise is hard, right? It's not always fun. To get stronger, you have to push yourself. You have to stress your body to the point where it says, whoa, that was too hard. I need to build greater capacities that next time I don't die. So it pushes, you have to push yourself. And challenges, very similarly, are like God's gym. They prepare us for His plan. If we want an easier life, we don't need fewer challenges. We need to get stronger. Just like lifting weights or exercise or doing hard work makes it easier next time, facing challenges makes it easier the next time. And we often say that we want to be used by God. But when you think about all the people that God used, that list of people I read through earlier, they went through some hard stuff. They didn't exactly have a real easy go of it. And our challenges today prepare us for the challenges tomorrow. When you think about how God used some of those people, hey, Moses spent 40 years in the desert before God called him at the burning bush. Joseph spent time in prison and was enslaved. But those things prepared them for what God had in store for them. Now, most of the time, though, we think that our biggest problems and challenges are the external ones that we're facing. But in reality, the external problems and challenges are not our biggest ones. They reveal our biggest challenges. Our biggest problem is inside of us, and that's fear and unbelief. In Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You see, God allows challenges because they help us overcome our bigger problem of inner fear, weaknesses, lack of faith, and lack of courage. We need those challenges to help us grow. If we say that problems are the problem, it'd be like walking into a gym and you're like, you know what? I figured out what the problem is here. All these weights are just too heavy. We just need to swap them all out for those little Barbie weights, and then we'll all feel better about ourselves, and it'll be good. Now, you need the challenges to reveal our weakness, our inner weakness and our fear. Let me share an example of this. So I don't enjoy conflict. If I could avoid it, I would avoid it. So I don't seek it out. But in leadership, you have to be able to address conflict when it comes up. If I didn't, if I just let it kind of go unchecked, it would be unloving to our teams. But I'd always kind of had the approach of ignore it and hope it goes away approach until it blows up. But during a coaching class I was taking, one of the questions they asked us was this: what's behind that fear? So I took that question, I went and I took some time to really think about it in relationship to conflict. And I realized as I was praying through it and thinking through it, that for me, the root of fear was getting backed into a corner and having to agree to something and then later regretting it because I felt pressured to make a decision too quickly in these conflict situations. Now, that may not be your specific situation, but what I want you to notice is this. Dealing with the root of fear instead of just dealing with the fruit of it, that specific situation, is a massive, massive difference. And so as I was thinking through it, for me, I was able to create a simple rule that whenever I feel backed into a corner, I just say, you know what, we're going to take time to pray about this, and then we'll make a decision on it. And that simple rule allows me to not fear in those situations. It created a way to deal with not just that specific problem, but the whole root of fear. And so that transferable principle is this. When you deal with just the problem, you only deal with that specific problem. But if you can deal with that root of fear and understand what it is that you are fearful of, or that emotion that you're feeling, why, what's the root of it, the belief or value behind that fear, you deal with a whole category of problems. And this can be absolutely life-changing. When you can identify and overcome a fear, many problems either are greatly reduced in size or vanish altogether. Challenges make us stronger. Challenges are not the problem. They're there to strengthen us. Weakness and fear and lack of faith are the root problem. And if we can deal with that, we can be able to endure much, much more in our lives. So an encouragement, a challenge for you in this is if you're facing a problem that's causing fear, take some time to journal about it, write it down or think about this and ask yourself, what's behind that fear or emotion? What's behind that fear or emotion? Think through what belief, value, unmet expectation, or identity is being threatened. And is it correct? Is it correct? Our fear may be based on a false belief, value, identity, expectation, or perspective. And dealing with the root of fear can absolutely change your life. The fourth perspective is this. Challenges advance the gospel. God uses problems and challenges to put us into situations and have conversations that are opportunities for the gospel to spread. We see this in Paul's life, and Philippians 1:12-14 says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, in other words, being put in prison here, this is the scenario, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord and by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. We may not be able to see what God is doing behind the scenes, but he's at work. Paul's problems gave him an opportunity to be a light and a testimony for Christ, to share the gospel in new places. I had an opportunity to do this list last year. I had my Achilles ruptured, fun stuff. But I had physical therapy for about 9 months. And guess what? I got to share the gospel with a lot of therapists. God put me into a different situation that I would not have been able to be around those people, but he used it to be able to allow me to share the gospel with all these people. And Paul, as he had courage in these situations, it also gave other people courage to share the gospel as they watched Paul walk through those situations. God wants us to be strong and courageous. And when we get put into difficult situations, when we get put into challenges, other people are watching us, aren't they? They watch how we're going to respond because they want to know, well, if their faith in God is big enough, how are they going to respond in that situation that they're in? And when our courage is unshakable, it shows that God is bigger than our challenges. He's bigger than our problems. It proves that he is an unshakable foundation. This passage has been so powerful in my life these past few years. We read it earlier, but I'm going to read it again. Psalm 112:6-8. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Wouldn't that be great to be described that way? Not afraid of bad news, heart trusting in the Lord. And I always remember that verse whenever I get all those calls during the week and you're like, all right, something else. Okay, not afraid of bad news. Why? We can be not afraid because we're trusting in the Lord. That's where the root of being able to not be afraid is coming from, is trusting in the Lord. But if we're easily shaken, it makes God look small and weak. But having faith and courage, not being afraid of bad news, it makes God look great. Others can't see God, but they measure his greatness by our responses to challenges. They measure his greatness by the measure of our faith. In Portugal, we have a lot of castle walls, fortresses, and when you go into a fortress, though, I realize something. I don't get any stronger. Why? Well, the strength of a fortress isn't in the people inside of it. It's in the castle walls. It's in the fortress walls. It's an external strength. And the same thing when we walk into a challenge, it's not that we have the great strength to get through that challenge. It's that we're trusting in our fortress walls. Now, if you're inside the fortress and you're shivering and shaking and terrified, what does that say about your faith in those walls? What would that say to the rest of the army in there? We're like, oh, we're in big trouble. Like, look, they think they're coming through the walls. Our faith in God puts his power on display to other people. People are watching our lives to see how great is God. And they want to know, can he be trusted? Whenever we face a problem, remember that God may be putting us into a situation that's an opportunity to advance the gospel. God is working through you to be a light in the darkness. Challenges are an opportunity to show Christ. Getting things done is not the goal. Showing Christ is the goal. So even in the midst of trials, problems, things not getting done, the true goal can still be accomplished. Because Paul's aim in this situation was to make Christ known. In Philippians 1:18, he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." We must remember our goal. Our goal is to advance the gospel. We must remember our goal, that challenges advance the gospel. When we were in South Africa, one of the other things that we would do, one of our family holidays was going camping up in the Drakensberg Mountains. And every year we'd go, and every year it would rain. And when you're camping, what are the enemies of camping? The enemies of camping are rain, cold, and wind. And so your entire camping existence is trying to do anything you can to mitigate the results of wind, cold, and rain. And so that's the enemy when you're camping. And one year, I wanted to hike up to the top of Tugela Falls, which is the second highest waterfall in the world. And so the rule was, anyone that wanted to go, there was two rules: no complaining, and second, we were not turning back unless there was a blizzard, which sometimes happens. So I had to keep that variable in there. So on the day of the hike, we headed out. My oldest daughter, Abby, and I went. We drove for an hour and a half, and the first half of the day, it rained. And we were hiking up the ridge. We were climbing up 60-foot chain ladders up the face of the cliff in the rain, and we made it to the top. Now, what was different there? Like, the rain didn't bother me. Why? My goal was different. I was climbing, not camping. And in our life, so many times, we get our goals crosswired. We think that our goal is comfort, because when you're camping, you're trying to stay comfortable. When you're climbing, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get to the summit. You're trying to get somewhere. And in life, so many times, the reason problems are a problem is because we're viewing them because of our perspective. We have the wrong goal. We have the goal of comfort instead of magnifying Christ. And when you change your goal, you change your perspective on it, it changes everything. You may be tromping through the rain of life, but if your goal is different, it changes the rain. It doesn't bother you in the same way it does. Sure, it's not comfortable, but it's not hindering your progress to get to where God's called you to be. And it changes everything about it. So the four perspectives that we looked at today were this. Challenges are part of God's plan. Challenges are the path. Challenges make you stronger, and challenges advance the gospel. Now, we looked at four different perspectives today. Now, I did, so one of the things I've been sharing with you here, this is what I share with our missionaries. And this is what we encourage them with. And I've just taken this all and put it into a book. And this is four of like 26. So in a couple, 2 weeks, I'm going to be launching the book. If this is something that was really, you want to know more about this, you can sign up on our prayer letter list. And we'll send out I'll send out an email in about 2 weeks to let you know where you can get more on this. But I hope it's been a challenge to you. Because this, for my life, has absolutely changed my life. It has absolutely changed my life because guess what? We're all going to be facing more challenges, not just right now. We're going to be facing more mountains. And are we ready for them? Are we ready for those? I'm going to close with James 1:2. It says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." We have to choose to count it joy. Changing our perspective will change our challenges, will build resilience and grit. It'll enable you to be joyful in the midst of trials and challenges. It'll help you to endure. Why? Because we're focused on God and what He is doing. Our goal has completely changed as we walk through those from comfort to making much of Christ. Changing your perspective will change your life. Question for you to walk away with today and think about is this. What challenge do you need to change your perspective on today? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what a good God you are. We thank you that you are in control, that you've got this in the circumstances that we face. You're never outside of control. And we can know with peace and confidence that you are with us in the midst of all the challenges we face. And Lord, we're thankful that you are working to glorify yourself through them. I pray that you will help each of us day by day to give us the strength that we need and give us the perspective we need to be able to remember that you are in control and that you're using these challenges to glorify yourself and spread the gospel. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.